We've been looking into the various features of the lifestyles of mammals: birth, feeding, reproduction, migration. And today we're going to look at those animals that, for various reasons, do not migrate, but live and survive through periods of cold and food scarcity. Yes, we're going to talk about hibernation. We'll also look at torpor, which is perhaps a lesser known term than the other. Well, first of all, which animals hibernate? Well, for a start, we're talking about endotherms. These are the organisms that generate their own heat to maintain a body temperature which is higher than its surrounding temperature. All mammals fall into this category. Reptiles and amphibians do something similar, but we'll call it brumating. Much of the time, it's small mammals like rodents that hibernate. They can't migrate large distances to get away from cold climates. But food is too scarce for them to carry on as normal. They have short, thin fur and don't have energy reserves to build up dense, warmer winter coats. And since they have large surface area to volume ratio, they lose heat more quickly. So what do? In essence, they give up. They let their body temperature fall, and they enter a state of torpor or hibernation. Let's look at these individually and in detail. Both of them, torpor and hibernation, are characterized by a drop in body temperature, slow breathing, slow heart rate, and low metabolic rate. This basically conserves energy reserves. The difference is that torpor is a short-term reduction of body temperature on cool days, typically lasting a couple of hours, while hibernation continues over an extended period, several days, weeks, or even months. Animals go into torpor when it's cold and food is scarce, and they will usually go into torpor in their usual sleeping places. Once there, we see a reduction in body temperature and metabolic rate. In bats, for example, the metabolic rate decreases 40 times, so you can see that there are considerable energy savings to be made. Once in torpor, they will not respond to, well, to anything, really. They are, in essence, dead to the world. But then, after a few hours, they will come out of it. Slowly, perhaps over the course of an hour. Hibernation, on the other hand, is different. For a start, animals often select a space different from their usual nesting sites. Bats, for example, are very selective. They require a particular temperature and airflow, while dormice weave nests from moss and leaves in hollow trees. The trigger is also different. Animals go into hibernation because of changes in day length and hormonal fluctuations. In hibernation, we see again a drop in metabolic rate, but to a much lower degree. The heart rate of an active hedgehog is 200 to 280 beats per minute, but only 5 beats per minute in hibernation. Temperature also reduces, typically to within 1 to 2 degrees Celsius of ambient temperature. And in below freezing temperatures, they will increase their metabolic rates to compensate. This expenditure is still far less than the energy costs of arousal. And obviously, animals do arouse from hibernation. However, not by external stimuli, and indeed it's not entirely clear why. Waking up consumes a lot of energy, so it is clearly important for an animal to do this. But what do when they wake up varies from animal to animal. So scientists haven't been able to find a behavioral reason behind this. Bats, for example, drink a lot, while hedgehogs sometimes move to another nest. One idea is that waking up is important for the animal's immune systems, as they are particularly vulnerable to parasites while hibernating. And although that theory hasn't been widely tested, it is not an implausible suggestion. So we have been talking about these differences, the differences between hibernation and torpor. And I want to spend some time talking about two different kinds of hibernators, obligate and facultative. You can see the definitions from your textbooks here. The obligates are those who habitually go into hibernation at a certain time of year, regardless of temperature or access to food. And not always in winter, I might add. Some, like the dwarf lemur, hibernate during the hot, dry seasons when food is also scarce. This is called estivation. The term is more used, however, for reptiles, amphibians, and some invertebrates. Facultative hibernators only hibernate in times of stress. The black-tailed prairie dog is one of these, whereas its cousin, the white-tailed prairie dog, hibernates regardless. Interestingly, there's been a bit of controversy over what constitutes as hibernation. And it's bears who have been at the forefront of this debate. You see, while many of the species we've been talking about so far experience massive falls in body temperature of 32 degrees Celsius or more, bear body temperature falls only by 3 or 4 degrees. And many believe that this is not true hibernation. We do see, however, a tremendous drop in metabolic rate, independent of body temperature, 75% below base level rates. And this indicates that they do indeed hibernate. In fact, northernmost bears will neither eat nor drink for periods as long as 8 months, relying only on stored body fat reserves for energy and water. Polar bears will lose 15 to 27% of their weight during hibernation. They will also give birth during hibernation without arousing, and they will use their fat stores to provide a warm, nurturing environment for their newborn.